So our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. It's a parable of the wedding banquet. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops. He destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' The man was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him, hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit in this place. May the Spirit come into us, open our ears, open our eyes, and our hearts as we reflect on your word and seek its meaning for our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, my rock, my redeemer. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen. All right, moment of honesty. I want to show of hands, who in here heard this parable and thought, "Bingo, that's a stewardship scripture if I've heard one." Yeah, I kind of expected a Ferris Bueller moment there. You know, Bueller, yeah. So seriously, me neither. I didn't see it.
Nope.
but I'm going to tell you another story. Totally different story, but it goes something like this. There was once a senior minister. He will be named later. He had arranged to go camping with his family. And this trip would put him away from church on the first Sunday of the annual stewardship campaign. So this wise pastor had a great idea. He called upon the chairperson of the stewardship ministry, and here's how that conversation went. "Have you ever preached before?" Not formally. "Would you like to?" So at this point, I certainly felt as if I was about to be the sheep among the wolves. I figured my best bet here, my best play, was just to go ahead and confront this head on. So I responded the most direct and best way I knew how. I said, "Chris, what are you getting at?" And that's how it happened. That was my invitation to preach this morning. But I couldn't commit. I couldn't just accept that invitation. Like those first guests the king invited to the wedding, my life's busy, it's hectic. Josh has soccer, I have work, Amanda has leaders club. You know, we have all kinds of things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I told him, "Let me think about it." Yep, deflection, avoidance. Just like those initial guests at the wedding. Chris continued, though. "Jeremy, there's material from the Center for Faith and Giving. I'll help you prepare. Come. Everything is ready. Accept this invitation." Well, thankfully, Chris is not like the king in the parable. He didn't send anyone to whack me for not saying yes. Obviously. So. I looked at this scripture and some of the supporting materials, and I finally came to a full yes, I'll do it. You see, in the midst of my hesitation and self-doubt, I remembered that stewardship and generosity are about more than just money. Stewardship, it just pretty much means manager, in case you thought it was code for get out your wallet or we're going to build a building. It's just the management of someone else's resources. Stewardship as a spiritual discipline means that we come to the realization that God owns everything in this world, and we're just the managers. We're just the managers of God's resources. One of my favorite ways that I've heard stewardship defined comes from Chris Brown, who's a preacher and as well as a host of a podcast titled Life, Money, and Hope. He says, stewardship is handling God's blessings, God's ways, for God's glory. I love that definition. And one of God's blessings is Scripture. So, as a steward of God's blessings, one of my responsibilities, one of your responsibilities, is to share the gospel. So, even when I'm uncomfortable, I feel unequipped, and I know that God is at work here in this place, here at Covenant, and I want to be a part of it. So, I started prepping for today's sermon. I researched some, I read a bit. I probably preached 6-7 different sermons in my head. They were all great, by the way, and I wish y'all could have been there for them. But honestly, what it really boiled down to for me is that stewardship starts with an invitation. An invitation to participate and be part of the realm of God. It's an invitation to preach on a Sunday morning. It's an invitation to give to the Week of Compassion following a natural disaster. It's an invitation to silently march through Raleigh so that every vote is counted and heard. The invitation to be part of God's kingdom is there. But it's up to each of us to say yes. To say, yes, I want to participate. And when I accept that invitation, I want to make a commitment to continue it, to continue and invite others and be in community with those that have also accepted God's invitation. The beauty of God's realm, it's apparent to me as I looked back and remembered on last summer of spending a week at Camp Caroline. There were many incidences that week which made apparent that the kingdom of God was near to us. On a few occasions, I had the opportunity to eavesdrop into the hearts of these young people. One evening during worship, the youth came forward. They came forward to lift up to God those who they were thankful for those that had a great influence on their lives, for their role models, those types of things. What they did was they had a balloon, helium balloons, and they came forward and they wrote these things on the balloons, and then we lifted them and raised them to God. Well, as I was standing there holding the balloons, I saw siblings write the names of their brother and their sister. The words mom, dad, best friend, teacher, pastor. I saw all these things. And when you get the opportunity to experience pure and honest truth and thankfulness coming from middle schoolers, which those of us that have middle schoolers, you know that's rare, you just thank God for that moment and you say, I want to be a part of that. So I went back and I reflected after spending a different week with our high schoolers. Here's what I wrote about that. When I've told people I'm using a week of my vacation time to go to camp and be a counselor for youth, I'm often asked why. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you spend a week watching other people's kids for free? Well, there's a number of reasons. There really are. But I can sum it up with one word, and it's really pretty simple. That word is hope. When I watch 56 high schoolers come together and they celebrate each other, I'm hopeful. When they cheer each other on without regard to their skin color, their sexual orientation, their body shape, their body size, their social groups, I'm hopeful. They share their amazing talents with each other. They sing, they dance, they play instruments, they express creativity. If you were at a retreat a month or so ago, you watched a young man from St. Paul play the piano and just wow the room. It was the same reaction in a room full of high school students. Pure joy. I'm hopeful. When they confide in you with their struggles about relationships, about drugs, drug use, drug dealing, self-image, and their faith, it gives me hope. I'm hopeful when I watch a kid hop on a sailboat for the first time, scared, insecure. But then the next day, that same kid comes out and teaches others to catch the wind and how to recover from a capsize. They're so proud, rightfully so. So yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for the future because I've seen the glory of God in and through this generation. And I rest easy knowing they are the future leaders in this world. I was so thankful for the opportunity to stay up late, wake up early, to go nonstop for 17 hours a day with them, to worship, to break bread, and to pray with them. These kids made me laugh so hard, I was literally sore. I woke up in the morning, I was like, why does my gut hurt? And I remembered, it's because I laughed so hard, I was literally sore. Would I do it again? Obviously, in a heartbeat. That is something that I want to be a part of. And it all starts with an invitation to be part of the kingdom, to be part of the realm of God here on earth. So that's what today is. Today's an invitation to come with us on this journey to generosity. The resources that we put to use here at Covenant, they become the mission and the ministry of this congregation. We do so many things through these gifts that we could not do alone or without this community. Our outreach and social justice ministry, they work to bring light to injustice in our community. We feed the hungry, clothe the needy, and serve in ways that bring dignity to those on the fringes of our society. Our education ministry works to support worship and wonder, our Sunday school classes, and our youth programs. We strive to make the Word of God vibrant in the lives of our youth, our children, and all of us. Our worship, invitation and membership, hospitality, property ministries, together we ensure that we have a home base, this place, somewhere to base and launch our ministry. Our relationships and partnerships with Good Shepherd UCC and Cary First Christian Church continue to grow. We join together, we participate in programs, and strengthen this community. There's a lot going on here at Covenant. And yes, I am proud to be part of it. I'm thankful that God has invited me here. I'm thankful that I get to give, and yes, I said I get to, not have to, give of my time, my talents, and my money to a place like this one. This is truly a place where God is at work. Yes, the kingdom of God is near, and it is beautiful. It'd be great just to end there, but we can't totally ignore the last disturbing piece of this parable. I mean, we could if y'all want to. But we probably just shouldn't. So the guest that accepted that invitation but came inappropriately dressed really reminded me of a lecture I had for my grandfather at one point in time, but he was bound hand and foot, thrown out into the darkness, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I first read this parable, those last few verses, they bugged me. They still do somewhat. But I've come to understand that these last three verses could be summarized in just two words. Act right. Really, what it boils down to is that when you've been extended an invitation, you have to act right. If you're going to a wedding, dress appropriately. If you're representing the kingdom of God, act appropriately. When you claim the name of Jesus, do as Jesus would do. So, if you've accepted an invitation to participate in this realm of God, the right way to act is continue to extend that invitation to others, accept it, and be in community with others that have accepted the same invitation. But the truth is, we don't always act right. We mess up. We dress inappropriately. We just do. That's life. A friend of mine, Melissa, shared a story on Facebook a week or so ago. I want to share that with you. Right before I left the house this morning, my son and I got into a huge blow-up because he was basically being disobedient and disrespectful. So I put on my good mom hat and spelled out to him exactly which privileges he just lost. Then, on the ride to school, he proceeded to whine and cry and tell me he would rather move to another house, preferably one where there are no rules. Anyone heard that one before? So I proceeded to point out some good options in the neighborhood. How about the house right there? I think it's haunted. They don't own any electronic devices or toys. And they only serve liver and sauerkraut for their meals. Her words, not mine, if you like. Those are your things. In fact, let me help you pack your bags when you get home. His sister happily joined in, too. From the back of the van, she says, "You'll have to sleep outside." Well, as you can see, this was not going well. The mom guilt immediately set in. I felt down and out and tired and knew that this would affect my whole day. Then the Holy Spirit gently tapped me on the shoulder and said this, "Change your mind." That's it, change your mind. I instantly knew exactly what he meant. I knew that I could continue to base my actions on my feelings of frustration and anger, and then guilt and condemnation, sadness, or I could base them on truth. But what is truth? The truth is, I'm not a slave to my feelings. That I have been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, self-control. This little boy is a gift. And what God gave me authority over, he also gave me the ability to steward properly. That I can take every icky, disturbing, crazy, and sad thought and take those captive and make them obedient to Christ. I can choose to think of the things in my life that are excellent and noteworthy and pure and just and true. That this was not over. So, right before we made it to the carpool line, I pulled over on the side of the road, much to the shock and awe of the littles riding with me. I opened his door and told him to hop down. We sat side by side on the curb, and I told him I would never want him to live somewhere else. I explained his behavior was not okay. He was not allowed to be disrespectful of his mama. I told him that I loved him, and I made him hug me. She goes on. The next thing she says is, I'm not sure why I'm telling you this story. And then tries to figure it out. Maybe it's for the other moms in the same place, other parents in the same place. I don't know why she told the story, though. That's easy. She shared this story so that we could hear it here this morning. And that we would know that when we haven't been acting right, we can make a change. We can change our minds and thoughts and actions and make them obedient to Christ. We have the option to change our mind. The Journey to Generosity materials that we're using this year for our annual campaign, they're produced by the Center of Faith and Giving, which is supported by our Disciples Mission Fund. Our own Reverend Chris Furr was a contributor this year for the materials. Looking at this particular passage, he writes, each of us has received an invitation to the celebration of grace, mercy, and unconditional love described as a wedding reception in this parable. It's up to us on how we receive the invitation and how willing we are to extend that invitation and receive others who may join us. Our willingness to commit our resources and ourselves to the purposes of God's realm is a way of joyously responding yes to God's invitation. So I'll leave you with this. The invitation is there. It reads, you are cordially invited to participate in the realm of God. The question is, how will we respond?